Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice
Age! You want to come and jaw with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to The Long Take, episode 623. We got Ken Jack and Gooch here today. We're going to be doing a little bit. What are you looking at me for?
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Well, you can be clear if I said 623. No, my girlfriend just gave me like this nasty look when I said episode 623 as if she knew I was just making that number up. I am, but I don't know. You shot me the weird look, okay? That's on you. Anyway, today we're going to be doing a rom-com draft. We're going to be building our own rom-coms, and we're going to be talking a few news items as well. I'm also watching live, while we're doing this, the Charleston versus San Diego State game, which if Charleston wins and then wins the next game, me and Jeff each get plus ones, all expense paid plus one trips to Ireland if they get to the Sweet 16. So if they fuck up, you'll be hearing my reaction right now. It's 24-24, just to set the scene for you guys here. And I don't know how to feel about this so far.
We're like coming in on part of my takes territory right now. Like this is their
like watching
sit and podcast and then watch the games while it happens.
Well, yeah, but that's Big Cat betting $8,000 on a game. This is his every day, and like this is like my once in a lifetime, basically. Okay, so anyway, long take. The first thing on news, Ben Affleck is said he won't direct for DC. I don't know. I didn't read the article where that it came from or anything like that, but like it just seems like something like were you asked to? Did James Gunn come up to you and be like, direct my movie?
I think the rumors out there were that DC really wanted him to come in and do the Batman movie that they're gonna do. Mm. But
he said, I have nothing against James, nice guy. I'm sure he's going to do a great job. I just wouldn't want to go in and direct the way that they're doing that. I'm not interested in that. But like, what is so offensive about the way James Gunn's movies have been compared to what Zack Snyder's movies are?
And he's like been very open about like how shitty it's been doing the DCEU. Like he's been like, he basically is a tell-all anytime you ask him anything about it. He's like fucking miserable from the production to the post-production to like studio heads to like personal tragedies, like everything about it was how not to do it, I think was his exact words. So like he might just be done with Warner Brothers, but the way the quote came off was definitely like he doesn't like James Gunn.
It's very weird.
He's like, nice guy, I'm sure he'll do well with it, but I'm not interested at all. And it's like
that's meaner than just saying like fuck him, like, you know what I mean? It's just weird because like you're saying, I think he had a quote recently. He said something like the reshoots for Justice League were like the worst time for him making films in his entire life or something like that. It's like, well, that was your guy, a guy that you signed on to do movies with. And like, how is whatever James Gunn would be doing, how would that be worse? Or like every part of that should be better. Like, I don't think anyone's ever said a bad word about working with Gunn.
I wonder if he like views himself as a very prestige director. Like, do you think he does? Like, do you think he's above? Do you think that he thinks he's like above, like doing like studio IP now?
Probably, yeah. Cause, especially because if Air does really well, which I feel like the point in which they're dumping it says no, but who knows? That could be nothing anymore. I mean, everything ever all at once is dumped in March. So, like, yeah, you never know anymore. But, like, he has Town, Argo, what do you call it? Gone Girl. Right? No, not Gone Girl. Gone Baby Gone.
Did he do The Way Back?
Yeah, he didn't direct that, I don't think.
Oh, okay. That was a good movie.
That was a good movie, too. But yeah, I mean, I guess in a way he's almost earned it because he got all those nominations for those movies. So.
But I feel like Batman, like, dude, that's a director's dream right there. Like, if you can get like any superhero you want, I think they'd all pick Batman. Like, almost all of them, because he's such like he's such a malleable character. Like, you can make him whatever you want to. You can do what you want with that character.
Maybe he doesn't want to be in like a competing, like, essentially a space that's where he's going to be cannibalizing another Batman property. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, you know that every single year and year out, you're going to be compared against another Batman that is already successful.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not to mention the Dark Knight trilogy too. And like, even going back to Keaton and Nicholson and stuff.
He should just start directing all brand movies. He should just do a brand movie for like, I don't know. What would you do next? He does Adidas. Like,
I'm just looking for the German
brothers who invented Adidas.
Do Hugo Boss. Go back to their original history. It's very interesting. Or Bayer Aspirin. Go see what they were doing in the 40s. It's not great. Or Mercedes-Benz, if they were just making engines, you can give them a pass. But like, same thing, like Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, they were up to no good. No good at all. Yeah. Anyway, what's a brand where I'm like actually interested? I'm like just like searching for brands.
We talked about it before. We're getting these weird, like, how these brands started movies coming up, like the Pop Dart one too. Yeah. And then the Hot Cheeto? We have a Hot Cheeto one too coming up, I think.
What about Uber? Yeah, the Blackberry one too is coming out at some point.
Blackberry, come on.
You didn't see the commercial for that?
I haven't seen that. I like the BlackBerry, but that's like something that was only like really in American culture for like 4 years, 5 years.
It was super pervasive though. Like, that was everywhere. Yeah. Like every adult that was in any sort of business sphere had one. I remember my mom had one and she thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And I'm like, that is so much less handy than my current T-Mobile Sidekick, which I can type with both thumbs.
My parents would not leave just like the basic flip phones or like just like the bricks until like they got an iPhone like 6 years ago. That took them so long to switch.
Dude, they got Glenn Howard in playing the guy who runs BlackBerry, and he have him in like a bald cap. It's crazy.
Are you being serious?
No, I'm dead serious. They just had a trailer for it yesterday. It's like it looks pretty good. I'm interested. I think it's literally just called BlackBerry, and like how these two of Jay Baruchel is in this because it's a Canadian movie. So of course, Jay Baruchel and some other guy that like created the actual technology for the BlackBerry, like the network, the like P2P network. I don't know what it would be called. And then Glenn Howard comes in as like the business guy that just commercializes everything and like sells it to the American public from Canada.
Interesting.
It's an interesting move, but like the guy Uber, I feel like is one that I'm surprised they haven't done one yet, because that's a Uber service like everybody in the country uses.
It'd be cool to see like the war they did, like, do console wars. That would be cool too. That would be a good movie.
Like the rush to market for all the consoles. Yeah, that would be
sick.
They
just portray Bill Gates as a complete asshole. He's like just swearing like he's like those fucking Japanese. Like he's like just hates them.
Just screaming at them about PlayStation and the Wii. Yeah, seriously. Both they were responsible for like his two biggest main competitors. I don't know. Dude, the console wars would be sick. I wonder how much Bill Gates is actually involved in Xbox though. I think a lot.
I remember him being very involved in it.
I remember him being at the presentations for everything, but like I would just assume that's because he's, you know, founder of Microsoft. I don't know. It's because he was like super into consoles or shit. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, consoles would be cool. Maybe just like something else in the gaming world too. I'm trying to think like the story of Ninja. I can just see the screen call it Tyler. The Blevins effect. Or something. Who plays Ninja? Jesse Eisenberg as Ninja. Because
that'd be a good one. Skylar Gisondo. He doesn't really look a damn thing like him, but
you could dress him up.
That,
you need.
Did you see that tweet that was like, where was he this year? He's about to like
something's cooking or something like that.
Yeah. So he's cooking something up.
I like that other people are catching on to the Jizz Man and like they recognize his talent. He's a talented dude.
That's hilarious.
I don't know. I'm down with him.
What else do we have?
James Gunn is directing Superman Legacy. The film will reportedly focus on Superman reconciling with his Kryptonian heritage while with his upbringing in Smallville, Kansas. Can you believe it?
That is the plot to Man of Steel. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited for this. But that is like, if you had to summarize what Man of Steel is about, you'd say he's reconciling his childhood with his human parents in Smallville with his heritage on Krypton. Like, that is the exact plot. So I don't know. What are we doing? I guess this is a good starting point, but
you got to bring us somewhere we haven't been. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't hate starting in Smallville. Like, I wouldn't hate it being really young. Start really young. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what's the Superman version of Uncle Ben's death or whatever, or Tom or whatever, Wayne dying. His dad dying, although that's one of the all time, just the hand up in the tornado, one of the greatest scenes.
That was a Zack Snyder creation.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the comics at all. There's really not one. I guess Krypton blowing up, but he doesn't really remember it. So
they should just frame it like the Dragon Ball Z world did, basically. Like have the ending of Krypton, which is what they kind of did in Man of Steel 2. Damn. They can't think of anything, can they? But like, where do you go? Hollywood, I guess. Do you just start?
Hollywood
has
run out of ideas, dude. Low key, I think Hollywood ran out of ideas. Low key,
they're just like switching around. I think you could start like mid Krypton, though, right? Like, not mid Krypton, mid Superman. Like, just have him already relatively established.
I don't know.
No, no, it's one of those hard things. But that's what we kind of said about. I remember when the Batman was originally announced. We were like, well, how many more times can we see this fucking old hag holding the pearls and falling to the ground? And
didn't
Didn't do it. They just kind of just started out and like, if you were on for the ride, great. If you weren't, move on. And I feel like everyone kind of just dug it, you know. And
I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see Rob have to go through it. It's like with Tom Holland's Aunt May. Like, you kept waiting for Aunt May, or because you never got the Uncle Ben death with Tom Holland Spider-Man. So you're kind of kind of want to see Marissa Tomei get.
Maybe a Scarecrow hits him with one of that magic dust shit and he gets a vision. There you go. Yeah, that's an easy way to show
Scarecrow, it. Scarecrow really does do that, doesn't he?
Scarecrow loves that shit. That's something. I never played the Arkham games, but I always heard that Scarecrow was really good in them.
Yeah, he dealt fent. It was fucked up.
Through his fingers or something. I've only seen the clip. It's like he injects it through his fingers. It's bizarre. There's a trailer for this new A24-made Netflix series called Beef. It follows the aftermath of a road rage incident between two strangers. Danny Cho, played by Steven Yeun, is a failing contractor with a chip on his shoulder, going head-to-head with Amy Lau, played by Amy Wong, a self-made entrepreneur with a picturesque life. Very bizarre and long trailer that dropped for this movie.
Yeah, but yeah, I tapped out with about a minute left because I was like, I think if they're going to show me everything if I keep watching. This looks I really like Steven Yeun. Like, I wish he was in I think he should be a massive star. He's in that territory where you recognize his face. I think a lot of people would recognize his face but wouldn't be able to name him. But everything he's always in, he's great. I loved him in Sorry to Bother You when he's like that slimy
even
great in that. But
he was in this really good movie with Amy Schumer that came out I think 2 years ago. Do you remember that? It was it was like him, Amy Schumer, Richard Jenkins, and someone else. I don't know. It was weird, but it was amazing. Not amazing, but really good movie.
With Amy Schumer?
Yeah. It was like a small, in an apartment. The whole thing took place in one apartment movie in New York or something. Beanie Feldstein, I think, was in it. Shit. I don't remember it. It was a small movie, but it was solid. And that's the only thing I think I've ever liked Amy Schumer in outside of her show, which I don't even know if I can credit her with if half the jokes are from other shit.
But yeah, I like him. Ali Wong, she's fine. I mean, I liked her in the one rom-com I saw her in. Always Be My Maybe.
Always Be My Maybe.
That's good. But outside of that, this really didn't do much for me. Like, I was kind of watching it, just waiting for it to really ramp up, and it felt way more Netflix than it did A24. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of like the, it's something Netflix I always realized, or I sort of noticed, like they love to do this. Like they do like 2 second clip, 2 second clip, 2 second clip, 2 second clip. It's like, and they're not necessarily connected. It's just like, here's one line, all from separate pieces. And like, it just kind of, I don't know, but I will say, I agree with you.
Yeah. Looking at A24's like TV and like, there's really nothing that stands out that much.
Tacoma Valley doesn't stand out to you? Tacoma Valley FD, sorry, fire department, the Broken Lizard show.
Oh, yeah. That,
you think that I'm lying? It's true.
Yeah, no, it is. No, like, it's like, yeah, it's got like Rami, The Idol, which is coming out soon.
It's not as illustrious as their movie records.
No, not at all.
They have how many Oscars Z-way? In the last 10 years?
Rami's
good. Yeah. Rami won a bunch of Emmys.
How many Oscars does A24 have?
I'm trying to think. Like Moonlight, I think, was their first, right? If I remember correctly. Let's see. I mean, they have to have a shit ton more now. They've swept everything above the line. How many Oscars does A24 have? Let's see. As of 2023, they have a total of 49 Academy Award nominations. I don't know. That's still kind of incredible considering how long they've been around.
Yeah. That's cool. So this looks fun. I don't know if I'm going to tune in for it. I'll have to hear positive feedback for me to dive into something like that.
Yeah. I like the cast. Amy Wong, I'm kind of feel odd about, because like her stand-up specials, there was one she did when she was pregnant, super funny, really, really good comedy special, one of the better I'd seen in a while. And then she made that other special that was almost exclusively about how much she wanted to cheat on her husband. And then like 2 weeks after it got released, she divorced him. And it just kind of, it leaves like a weird taste in your mouth. You know what I mean? And it's like, I shouldn't give a shit about their personal life in that way or at all. But like, it felt kind of, Ali Wong, yeah, Amy Wong is from Futurama. That's a Futurama character. I was just talking to, so we have an interview with Katie Sackhoff coming out soon, as well as Zach Levi. Katie Sackhoff was talking about, because she was in an episode of Futurama where she plays a character named Girl with three R's, I think. It's a very funny episode. It's all about like Comic Cons and stuff like that. But yeah, Ali Wong, just something about that whole timeline, it just doesn't sit right with me. It's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know how to explain it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. I would agree.
The special was just uncomfortable too. Like the actual, like listening to that special, it's all she was talking about. It wasn't very funny. It was just weird.
She just got up there and she wanted to make her boyfriend feel like shit.
Her husband of multiple years. She has like three kids with him. It was just like, it was just weird.
I kind of respect it, honestly.
It was literally like, it was an hour long of her just saying like, oh, I just wish I could fuck someone else. Oh, I just wish I could fuck someone else. It's like, yeah, it's a funny joke for maybe one part of your special, not the whole thing. I don't know. It was just odd. Last thing, Tarantino said his final, potentially final movie will be titled The Movie Critic, rumored to be set in 70s LA with a female lead at its center. I think it was based off a real person. That, or at least they think it's based off of a certain person, right?
Yeah, a critic that he's spoken fondly of quite often is who it's rumored to be about. But I don't think he'd do a biopic. I think he would just base the character on her. Tarantino doesn't feel like he has any interest in doing biopic.
Not at all.
Yeah, no. Like, it would definitely just be like an original character based on this person.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in it. I mean, obviously it's Tarantino. I feel like it feels like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out like 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that. Like, that's top two, top three for me in Tarantino's catalog. Like, I really love that movie.
Yeah. That's like it's like a standard gap for Tarantino. It's not like it's an excessive amount of time or anything, but like, I don't know. I feel like we're missing some Tarantino.
The issue is he stays in the news. He goes on, he does so many interviews, he's got his podcast, and he puts out so many quotes that like get the fires turning, And then you realize, like, when was the last time he actually made anything? And he just keeps talking. And you're like, kind of wish you would just go out of sight, out of mind for a little bit. So I'm not constantly reminded that you need to make another movie. This should be, I mean, I don't know how to feel about him going back to, I mean, the first Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was 60s Hollywood, or, yeah, 60s.
Yep.
This would be 70s Hollywood. Feels, I kind of wish he would do a different setting.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
Like, go somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of like his last grouping of movies. Man, he should take so
a stab. He should take a stab at doing the talkies to the silent film to talkies transition. just
do his own Babylon.
Yeah, do his own Babylon.
He's such a fucking talented little freak, man. It's hard not to love Tarantino. Just a foot fetish freak, looks like a weirdo, just makes some of the best movies in the world.
Oh, I hate when people like act like they're too good for Tarantino. Like,
oh, I know.
Film snobs who like, oh no, all he does is rip off other directors. I was like, but he puts it together way better than they could ever dream of doing. Like, he puts it together so nicely and it's so entertaining. Like, every time.
Oh my gosh. Just renamed Django. It's like, I don't give a shit. It's a fucking amazing movie. I don't care.
So much better than the other Django, too. Like, the old Django.
It's insane. It's crazy. I don't know, but that's...
Filming soon, too. So I guess he's kept this very tight-lipped in terms of, like, script and stuff.
And cast.
He's also doing that miniseries still, right?
Which one was that? I forget.
I can't remember what it was, but he definitely...
Tarantino miniseries. He reveals Planet 2 TV series next year. This was an article from last year. 8-episode series. About what? he's going to do some Justified? What the fuck? I don't know. I'm just reading all this. I remember there was a quote from him I saw during one of these press tours where he said something to the degree of, like, he wouldn't want to be a Marvel star because, like, they're not actors. They're just superheroes or something like that, where it's like, that's Captain America. You're not like, hey, that's Chris Evans. I was like, I guess. Like,
yeah, that didn't make sense.
I was like, for a kid, maybe, I guess. Like, yeah, you're not going to have like a 10-year-old Marvel fan walk up and be like, oh my God, Christopher Evans, I love your work. No, you're going to be okay, Captain America.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't really get the point he was trying to make there. When that quote came in, I was like kind of confused by it, to be honest. Because sure, they're all just there for a paycheck, but it's not like you don't look at the screen and say, "Oh shit, that's Paul Rudd." Like,
yeah,
I don't think of Ant-Man at all. I actually just think of him as Paul Rudd, man.
Yeah,
he barely shrank in the last movie.
Celery Man, if anything. All right, so now we get to do our rom-com draft. So. We're going to be doing each of us picking two actors, one MISC, one director, and a general synopsis for it. I don't know how this is going to look on our graphic, but we'll figure. Gucci will figure it out. Anyway, so you can go first. We could honestly just do the full thing each. I think that might be easiest, right?
All right, sure. So I'll go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my director. We were just talking about him. It's going to be Quentin Tarantino. He hasn't done rom-com, but he can do romance and he can do comedy. So why can't he do rom-com? He likes to do these genres, you know, like he does a little bit of every single, like he did his war film. He did his crime movie. He got his wuxia martial arts movie, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, he likes to dabble into these different genres, Western. Why not take on the rom-com, one of Hollywood's biggest pillars? I want to see him do it. And his leading man is going to be the greatest rom-com actor, maybe of all time. It's Ryan Gosling.
Ooh, okay.
The Goss God. Get him back in a rom-com. I want to see him do more comedy stuff more than anything. But if we can get him back into a rom-com, I'll be just as happy.
I can't wait to see the feet on the actress you're about to say.
They might be out there. Actually, I don't know. She's quite modest. And
Celebrity Foot Finder online exists. I'll find it.
But I know she's got some great chemistry with Ryan Gosling. And I'm going with Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Okay. Emma Stone feet. Let's see. I mean, he's worth it. Tarantino's not going to cast her if she doesn't have good feet. You just know that. I don't know.
Let me see.
Not exactly a connoisseur, but I don't know, man. I don't think he's going for these. Take a peek. What do you think?
I don't know what the criteria are. I don't even know why.
Yeah, me too. I'm struggling. I'm struggling.
I was looking at the feet and I was like, what is it even the criteria? Like, no fungus.
Exactly. I was like, that's the one thing that would be like that's obviously a bad foot if she had like a corn growing out of it or something. Like,
it's like a guy who doesn't know what like good tits look like. He's like, yeah, those are
those are tits already.
Those are good, right? Bad?
Pretty. No. I went through about 20 pictures of Emma Stone's feet just now, and they look relatively normal. There's a lot of Photoshops of Emma Stone.
Bring in an expert.
Yeah, we need to get Jersey Jerry in here. Get an actual
Jesus
grade.
Jesus Christ.
you see the one they sent you?
Yeah.
These are hysterical.
Why? It's not even a good Photoshop.
Someone needs to do a Photoshop with her with 30 feet. That's the one people are looking for.
That's actually, I think that's what Tarantino likes. He likes the dirty feet. My misc. Someone put out this question on Twitter earlier, and they said, who's the next Kiwi Kwan or the next Brendan Fraser you want to see? You know, an actor been out of the game or not acting or not getting the opportunities, makes a big splash out of nowhere and wins an Oscar, wins an award, gets all the acclaim, people love him. And I said Steve Zahn. That's why Steve Zahn is going into this Tarantino movie. It's going to be the start of the Zahnaissance. Not only that, Zahn is going to play. I'll tell you what he's going to play here in a second once I give you the synopsis. But okay. He's perfect for the role. I want to see Steve Zahn in more stuff. He's also a Kentucky legend. Love him.
Am I dumb for not realizing that he played one of the apes? Like he mo-capped an ape
I didn't know that either. I saw that on it came up on my TikTok feed.
Yeah, me too. I saw him doing it.
I was like, is this an edit? I was like, wait, is this an edit? Is someone making a Steve Zahn fan cast for the next ape movie? And then I realized, oh no, he was like a talking ape.
Dude, I had no clue until I saw. See, I saw probably the same TikTok as you. I was like, someone's making this up. Like that, just a mocap from something totally different. And then on the cast list.
God damn, those visual effects. Would have never known.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't even tell the ape was an actual Steve Zahn.
And then the title of this movie is going to be The Critic.
Okay.
So Tarantino's next movie. I'm just Tarantino's making it for him.
Next actual movie. Okay.
Yeah, this is his actual next movie. I'm just making it for him. And the plot is basically going to be this actor tries to be taken seriously. Like, so imagine like it's going to be kind of meta too, like in a way like Birdman, where it's going to be about like this actor who like made his name in rom-coms. So Ryan Gosling, you know, and then wanted to be taken seriously. But then imagine if Ryan Gosling started doing all these dramas and like just got panned by like Roger Ebert. Like immediately, like every single serious role he tries to do just gets shot down. So this is like a different Gosling. Alternate universe Gosling. And the critic, his biggest critic, his Roger Ebert, is going to be played by Emma Stone. She's going to be a movie critic. And he's going to meet her. And then they're going to, you know, hate each other. And then they're just going to fall in love. Because that's how a rom-com goes.
I feel like I've seen this in a movie before. I think I've seen
that. Actor falls in love with their biggest critic. That's a good...
Yeah, no, that is really good. I feel like I think I'm thinking of
Steve Zahn plays Gosling's agent.
Okay, no, that's perfect fit for him. He's been in actually like a decent amount of rom-coms lately.
He's a really bad agent. he keeps landing him like just terrible. Like, he's getting him roles on like Showtime series. Like
have him also represent Fassbender. He. What was the one he was in recently that we just watched where Steve Zahn played like a hippie neighbor of somebody?
Your Place or Mine. Yeah.
Your Place or Mine. Like,
He's fucking Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. And then there was Tall Girl and Tall Girl 2. Tall Girl 2, yeah. Obviously.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. He played the dad.
Tall Girl. How could any of you relate to being as tall as me? 6'1".
Oh.
How's the weather up there, freak? It's
you like, want to talk about Caldwell, by the way? Last 2 days at my gym, Sophie Turner's been in there. Ooh. Looked up her height. She's listed at 5'9". That woman is 6 foot. She's six foot, maybe. Dude, she's tall. Like, tall.
Mm-hmm. She's doing, like, the reverse KG. Or actually, the regular KG.
No, she's doing KD. She's doing the Kevin Durant.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Kevin Durant kept saying he was, like, what, 6'9"? He's just taller than Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember KG would be like, oh, I'm six. I'm maybe 6'10", 6'8". He was easily 7 foot. Because there's, like, I guess a different set of rules that come with 7-footers. But yeah, no, yeah, I really like
that. I think I have a good movie, to be honest.
Speaking of tall women, again, I almost considered getting Elizabeth Debicki onto my team. I was like, I really wanted Debicki.
Dude, she the 6'3". The edits that people make her even taller. It's so funny. And like, they'll just make her like a little bit taller. They'll make her like 6'6", 6'7". But mm-hmm. like, so like, it just like is enough for you to kind of go, I think that might be real. And then you kind of like have to look again. And you're like, no, there's no way she's that tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny.
She is crazy. I remember the first movie I saw her in, other than like Guardians 2, was like Widows. She was like one of the Widows, and I was like, that woman is.
No, you saw her in what's the movie with Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer?
Oh, and, yeah, you're right. A Man from U.N.C.L.E. Yeah, she was like the heiress, sort of.
The German. I feel like, yeah.
I feel like she wasn't that tall. You don't get a good sense for height in that, though. Maybe.
I mean, she's standing like face to face with like Armie Hammer.
That's a fair point. And Armie Hammer is very tall.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So mine, I want to get as many Zoomers to watch this movie as possible, because that's the sweet spot for rom-com movies released in theaters. You need to get as many young people to watch it as you can. So my actor is going to be a guy who, like, he was maybe like the little brother type character for a long time, but he has since grown very hot. And now he's like, he's adored by TikTok and other places. Logan Lerman is going to be my male lead for this. Logan, dude. He became insanely hot. It's crazy.
Dude, the girls love him. They love him.
Obsessed with Logan Lerman.
That's like one of those things I think I was like just a year too old for, was Percy Jackson stuff.
Percy Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what he broke through on, right? That was his big role.
Yeah.
He played Percy Jackson. And yeah, so and then I just kind of...
Alexander Daddario was his... Yeah. Daddario was his co-lead in that, which is crazy.
Yeah. And so I never really like understood like who this kid was. And then he just starts showing up places and I was like, whoa, this guy's fucking hot. And then mm-hmm. I like... Anytime he gets posted on like any of the like big like Pop Crave or whatever those things are, like the comment section is just horny.
Oh yeah, and it'd just be like a regular picture, just like, here's Logan Lerman on a hike, and they're like, penetrate every hole I have,
breed me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was really hot in a Bullet Train too. He was like,
he was in it for 2 seconds,
and he was still like insanely hot. It was insane. And he's got people riled up. And so like the other actor I have on this is Selena Gomez. Tell me one actress who's got more social cred right now than Selena Gomez. And she's actually legitimately a very good actress on top of all that.
She's expanded her game, if you know what I mean. She's definitely expanded her game. She showed me some sides of her that I didn't know she had before.
that picture was Photoshopped, by the way. That was the most obvious Photoshop that's ever existed.
It's a video.
Still, there's no that's Photoshopped. I don't believe that was real. But she was good. Obviously, she's great in Only Murders in the Building. But like, she was, if you ever seen the Fundamentals of Caring, really good movie. She's awesome. That Paul Rudd, Bobby Cannavale, a couple other people in that. He was really really good. Man, it's a Netflix movie. It's really, really good. Worth your time. But Selena Gomez, obviously super hot in the streets with the Bieber bullshit or whatever. I feel like you throw her in a movie right now, people are going to watch it. And like, she also bridges a good gap between Zoomers and like, I guess, I don't know what you would call like us, like late stage millennial, whatever.
Zillennial, like, I think is the, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Something like that. She bridges that gap perfectly. And you can have Selena Gomez's original song in the movie. And that makes it even more hotter, I guess. My miss.
She hasn't done much music lately, has she?
No, I don't think so. At least none that I've heard. But all of her songs are bangers too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Her cooking show was pretty cool on HBO. I don't know if you watched that.
Speaking of someone who kind of runs adjacent to Still gonna go. Someone reminded me of the Vanessa Hudgens COVID video.
Which one was that?
Put it on the timeline. It was like yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of the Vanessa Hudgens. She's on like Instagram Live. She's like, it's a virus. She's like, people are gonna die. It's so funny.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's so bad.
I have to rewatch.
Yeah, no. She goes, people are gonna die. It's so.
Fuck, I'm gonna have to go rewatch that now. It doesn't hold a candle to the one and only COVID video.
Imagine.
From celebrities. Imagine. Ugh. Who was it that was? There was somebody in that video where I did not realize they were in it.
There's some people that we like in that video.
Who's the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know. I think they're a little stir crazy.
I mean, I know for a fact it was Mark Ruffalo is one of them. Gal Gadot was a start and Ruffalo was in it. Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that's I think like everyone just kind of forgets who is in it after the just the beginning. Gadot with Gal Gadot's face is so funny.
You could tell how Pedro Pascal is in it. Yeah, that was the one I was missing. But all I remember is Gal Gadot's face.
If we ever get an interview with Pedro Pascal, we gotta take it up a notch from these red carpet interviews. We just gotta start like being like, what are the dimensions on your cock? Like, could you?
Yes. Compare just it to go a fruit. Like. Because at what point does it become overboard? Because he just answers all of them, which is why they think they keep doing it. At a point, he's just got to be like, yeah. I'm not telling you that I want to, or I like it doggy style or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just keep it to yourself. Okay, so Logan Lerman and Selena Gomez. My MISC is Zendaya. I say Zendaya. Some people say Zendaya. I don't really know which one you're supposed to use.
I say Michi.
I said, I'll go Zendaya. she's going to be the third actress in this movie, which I'll explain more in the general synopsis of this.
Like the direction this is going.
You should. Paul Feig is directing this. Okay. Maybe just because I really like A Simple Favor, and that kind of has a similar structure in a way to this. Okay, so here's my synopsis. I don't have a title for the movie. Maybe you can work it out by the end of it. Logan Lerman and Selena Gomez are dating. They live together in a quaint apartment in New York City, Greenwich Village, because the younger people are obsessed with Greenwich Village. Place fucking sucks. Basically, Lerman works at like a startup of some kind. He's like one of those young startup dudes. And then Selena Gomez is a museum curator, because that's a job people have in rom-coms and nowhere else. During one of her shows, Gomez meets this really intriguing young artist, Zendaya, and they strike up a friendship that slowly becomes very intense. Over time, the relationship becomes sexual. You know what I'm saying? They bust it down sexually.
Does Logan know?
Well, we'll see. One night, Gomez peeks through Zendaya's phone out of curiosity. She sees a text chain from Pizza Hut. After reading a few of the steamy messages, there's a picture of this mystery man's cock and balls. And Gomez pauses and realizes something. That's her boyfriend's cock and balls. Lerman has been sleeping with Zendaya, who he met at a party. So now they're both mad, and Selena Gomez and Logan Lerman decide to separate. But now here's the problem. The third act transitions entirely to the perspective of Zendaya, who has to decide which one of them is going to get her love. And that's my movie. Give it some thought.
I like it. I like it. I like the pizza angle. The Pizza Hut angle.
What if we did this almost like, maybe shouldn't be trying to emulate The Last Duel, but you know how The Last Duel had all three acts were just from three different perspectives?
What part of The Last Duel do you... Jodie Comer? Who's Jodie Comer?
I think the three acts from three perspectives was kind of cool. Imagine they did it like that, like Selena Gomez meeting Zendaya and then Logan Lerman meeting Zendaya. And then the third act is like the clash and then all from the perspective of Zendaya.
I don't hate it. I like that. Pulpy. I'm trying to think of a title, like Meat Lovers. I'm trying to think of the title. Yeah. I'm so stuck on the pizza thing.
The Artist 2 or something like that. That's like an art term.
Like, I don't know.
What's an art Fresca. Idiom? Because movie titles are always idioms. Let's see. You know what I mean? Like, they just love that shit. Pretty as a picture.
Sometimes a movie's a number. Sometimes you just name it 65.
Maybe somebody dies. Oh, it dies, and you call it dying art.
Oh, there you go.
I like that one a lot. Life imitates
the
art.
The dying art of love. The dying art of love.
Yeah, that works. State of the art. Oh.
We just need to keep adding words, and sooner or later it'll become like an Alejandro Iñárritu movie.
Exactly. Fine art, state of the art, art for art's sake. Noble art, state. It's a lot of state. He just keeps saying state of the art. I do like that one, that first one. The dying art or whatever. Or the art of dying. That would be a cool name for
a movie.
Yeah.
It's got to be a movie.
That definitely is a movie. Life imitates art might work too. I don't know. That would work. When I was trying to build this movie, I was going to have Henry Cavill and Asa Akira as the lead roles, and I felt that was too on the nose for me personally. So I was like, I'm going to decide against it. I went a different direction.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. By the way, so did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Speaking of, those are our two teams. We'll put the graphic. What'd you think? We'll do like more of a breakdown on Monday. Tuesday, but
I thought it was cool. I'm trying to like put it together in my head because like what we can't get to. We also just talked.
It was your episode.
I know. I got the number one seed. I finally got like the real shine with fucking Dr. Pershing, whatever his name is. Spoilers. Don't listen any further if you haven't watched Mandalorian yet. I thought it was awesome. I think the coolest part is just the machine being called the Mind Flayer. Like, and they just put him basically the Total Recall machine and just wiped his brain. That was awesome. I think the whole people, this is one of those episodes where I'm sure, I haven't checked the total reaction of everyone yet, but an episode where I could see people being pissed because there wasn't enough Mando and there's too much side character. But like, that was a good episode of showing like, hey, like, yeah, the Republic's the good guys, but like, they also like, they can suck just as bad as the Empire, just in different ways. You know what I mean?
It's government, man.
It's just government.
This was bad people on both sides. The episode.
Basically, it's like, hey, we don't have space Nazis anymore. We have space bureaucrats. Like, pick your poison, I guess. But I thought that was cool. I think, like, the fact that he left the Empire and somehow is still being called a number, you know what I mean? Like, that's an interesting way to take that. And I really liked, like, just the way that episode kind of progressed. It was really interesting. It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably my least favorite Mando episode yet.
What about the Starfighter part?
We're only 19 episodes in or something, but...
Yeah. Something like that. What about the Starfighter episode? Or part, rather. Where they're fighting off the TIE Fighters.
I think it was like a burger with really shitty meat. Like, really shitty topping, shitty meat. It wasn't even shitty, it was just long. Very long. And so now I know it has to pay off in a big way. And I'm kind of worried about what that could mean. If they use this to explain like Snoke or like Palpatine, I'll kill myself on the pod. Yeah.
I think that lady was up to something nefarious.
Oh, Jeff?
Obviously. What?
She was, because she had the Jeff haircut. She.
Oh, yeah, she kind of did. She was missing Jeff the fade. Yeah, true. That's kind of true. You have to put that Photoshop out later. Just give her a little bit more of a fade.
Give her a big dump truck ass.
Yeah, that's bruised.
She look like Jeff
falling down at the X-wing store or whatever. I think another thing too. We always talk about this. It's always cool seeing Star Wars food, like the little biscuit or whatever the fuck it was. That was interesting.
Yeah. Those little glow sticks.
Yeah. Those are kind of cool. I like little.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it more on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the long take. We'll be back, obviously, Monday. Full crew, more of a deep dive on The Mandalorian. But until then, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
It's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.